This is In the Room with Sean Clancy.
I'm Sean Clancy, and I'm in the room with jockey Arnaldo Boca Chica. An amazing eight stakes win foray the other day. Take me through that. What was that like to win eight stakes on a night?
Yes, that was just an incredible night for me. Like, coming in, I knew I have a lot of good horses, a lot of good chances. So I was hoping for to win two or three, because they all look good. So two or three, I'd be really happy with it. But once I win three, four, I was like, wow, look like I'm not getting beat today. And it was a good night.
How'd you lost one? I mean, how'd you lose a couple? You lost one race on the night?
Yeah, just one. I mean, that horse, and actually like that horse, he was looking good for the race, but he just couldn't compete with them. He beat them before, but it was like a perfect trip. And this one, it was a little wide, and the favorite got the job on me, and he still ran a decent race. He finished four, but I'm happy with the way he ran.
When does it hit you? I mean, that night after the races? I mean, I know when you're riding that, those kind of races are coming back to back that fast, but what's it like? I mean, at the end of the night or the next day, you stop and think, wow, I won eight stakes on a card.
At the end of the night, when I win my last race, coming back, I was talking to my buddy. I told him, man, I wish my dad was here to see this. That was my first thought. It was an unbelievable night. And walking back from the last horse, I just couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, I can't believe this just happened. I was amazed for what happened that night.
Where's your dad? Was he watching? I'm sorry.
Yeah, he passed 3 years ago, and he was my biggest fan. So that's the only thing I was missing that night. So I hope I'm making progress there and that he was watching, because, I mean, I did it for him. That was the only thing missing that night. It was him.
That's got to be tough, right? It hits you. Hits you thinking about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, it really hit me. Like, I actually, like, cried a little after the race, because I wish he was here to see what I did that night.
Did he get you started in racing, or how did that start?
Yeah, he was a jockey, okay. And my brother. So saying I was little, I wanted to be a jockey. And the thing is, every year for those races, when he was alive, he used to come and watch me for that night. So that make it even more hard for me that night, because he always come and watch me ride those big nights like that. And to do something like that, and he not being here, it was hard.
So growing up in Puerto Rico, always wanted to be a jockey, or what was that like?
Yeah. In Puerto Rico, to be in jockey school, you have to be 16. So since I was really young, I just want to turn 16 so I can go to the jockey school. I have no plans. My only plan was I'm going to be a jockey. That's it. I don't want to go to school for nothing. I don't want any other job. I'm going to be a jockey. That was my thought my whole life.
And that's following your dad's footsteps to want to do it.
Yeah, my dad and my brother. I look up to a lot to my brother too. So I just want to be like them.
And when did you first start riding? I mean, what kind of horses or ponies, or what was that like at the beginning? Did you ride much before jockey school?
No. I went like for 2 months to a farmer over there in Puerto Rico to start learning. And then just in jockey school, you learn with easy horses over there. Then they let you gallop for trainers. And I actually came here before I graduated and got my license here in Charlestown.
Wow. And what year was that?
2006, in the summer of 2006.
So when you go to the jockey school, you're thinking about guys like John Velasquez and those kind of heroes, Jose Ortiz and Irad Ortiz, right? I mean, those are the guys you're looking – oh, they're after you. All right, sorry. I got my timeline wrong. But Johnny for sure, right?
For sure, yeah. When you go to jockey school, that's one thing that you know is Johnny Velasquez. He's Hall of Famer, one of the best over here. So you look up to him a lot. And then I look up to the jockey in Puerto Rico, the leading jockey over there. His name is Juan Carlos Diaz Jr. I mean, Juan Carlos Diaz. Yeah. And I look up a lot to him and my brother over here. That was my three jockeys. And when I came here, I actually started watching Johnny V, and I was like, wow, he's really talented. So that was growing up, John Velasquez, Diaz, and my brother.
So how old were you when you came to America?
I was 18.
And you came straight to Charleston?
Yeah, straight here.
How did you get here? I mean, why Charleston?
The agent, they brought me here. His name is Herson Rodriguez. He's in Parks now. So he went to Puerto Rico. He looked me in the practice races over there, and he said, you look good, so I think we can do good over there in Charlestown. He know people over here, because he had J.D. Acosta over here before. So he brought me here, and I stay here since.
And what for you, I mean, you're a young kid. You go from Puerto Rico to Charlestown. What kind of an adjustment was that? Was that easy, or what was that like?
It wasn't easy, because first we had to stay with people that I don't know. And then here on the track, I had to work, and I don't know any English. So I was like, I don't know what to do sometimes. He had to be with me most of the time to explain. When he wasn't there, I don't know what to say. So in the beginning, it was a little hard till I started learning the English and learning more to ride here because the track's small. But once everything came together, it was okay for me.
So John Velasquez always tells a story. He was watching Little Mermaid or some cartoon, and that's how he learned how to speak English. Well, how did you learn how to speak English?
Watching TV too, a lot of movies and everything. The dad of my agent, he put me to watch a lot of TV, but with the subtitles, so I can even easier like that. So that's how I learned.
And has it been an easy road? I mean, what's it been like? You're a leading rider year after year at Charlestown. What's it been like? Has it been tough or what's it been like?
The first few months was a little tough. We actually thought to live here and everything. But then when I started winning, it was a great year. My first year, I was leading rider too. Then the second year, I was our leader B, so I went down. Then when I came back, it took me a few years to get where I am right now. I was like top five for a while. Then I partnered with Jeff, and since I'm riding for him, I went to the top.
Yeah, how did you hook up with Jeff Runco, my perennial leading trainer of most of those winners that night? I mean, how did you hook up with him?
Well, he gave me a few opportunities to ride for him. He was riding a few horses, and I did good for him. So he asked me to come and work in the morning. He will give me a few horses to ride, and that's how we started. We started doing really good. He gave me more mounts. And right now I ride most of the barn, so I appreciate that for him to pick me to be the rider to ride his horses.
Yeah, he talked about your work ethic coming to the barn and riding out, and when days when he's not there, you come in and make sure you know you're there all the time, and that's very important, I guess, for your success.
Yeah, one thing that my dad told me too, like if you're gonna have somebody get mad at you, don't let them to be mad at you because you're lazy. Get up and work. If you work and you're respectful, you'll be successful. So that's what I try to do. I try to work every day. Like, I show up. You can ask Jeff. I show up. If it's raining, I'm here. It's cold, I'm here. I show up. They need me to work. I'll be there to work. Like, it's my business. You know, if I don't do it, maybe somebody else will. And Jeff, he had the best horses. So why not do it for him who had the best horses? So he need me to work, and I'm there. Like, he says sometimes he's not there, and he want me to watch stuff. I do the work for him, like. And I'm happy with it because I actually like it. I enjoy getting on these horses in the morning, see them from when they're freaking here, they don't know much. Work by work, getting better, and picking up the nice babies and all that stuff. I love it.
So you're part of the team.
Yeah, right now I am. Thank God. I mean, this is a good thing to be a part.
Yeah, for sure. And Jeff was a former jockey. I talked to him earlier today. He talked about how important it is to have a relationship with a jockey like you guys do. And it's really important, same thing, for a jockey to have that kind of relationship with a trainer.
Yeah, it is. He understands more about the race. You know, when you make a mistake or whatever, he understands. So like sometimes, like I want to make a move, but I can't, or he wanted me to do something, and I said something else. When I come back and explain, he understands better because he used to write. Like and about the living the game, the story helped me a lot with some of those things too. Like he used to do it, so it's good to have somebody that they know about the actual the race that has been in the race. So some people it's hard when you over here, so he been there, so he knows how it goes. So it's good.
You ever get mad at you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm not perfect. I make mistakes sometimes. Hey. And he tell me this is a business, and he have clients. They spend a lot of money with it, so that's why he want me to focus all the time. Like, he understand when you can make a mistake, but he understand sometimes, like, you need to be focused. And maybe, like, I went too wide. I waited too long. I don't have the horse ready in the way. And, you know, he has to respond to these clients. And if I made a mistake, you know, it's on me, but I try to study my races really well and try to not make mistakes. If something happens, it has to be something that happens. It wasn't my fault. And he understands why it's not my fault, too. So that's good, too.
Yeah, he said you come to the paddock and you're prepared. You know where the speed is and you know where everything. You've studied the race. That's really important.
Yeah, and that actually came after I started riding for him. I usually, like, study races, but when I study riding, because he always want to, he knows to him, he want to make sure you know what you're doing too. So I go over there and I'm already like prepared. I know what I'm doing. I have a few plans already. If this one go, it doesn't go where I'm going to be. So I study the races a lot, and that's because he told me to be ready for these races, Jeff. So I'm glad to have somebody like him, like to make sure I'm ready and focused for these races.
Yeah, I got to say, we just watched the second race on a Wednesday night at Charlestown, and as you were in the gate, he was saying, straighten his head out, Boca, straighten his head out, now get him off the back doors, make sure he's paying attention.
Yeah, so all that stuff that he was saying, he told me in the paddock. So I know he's watching, and I know he want me to do. But that horse, he get like that sometimes, them keeping it relaxed. So I was waiting for the last horse to get in and then put the head straight. Because if I don't, he will, when I come back, he'll be, why you don't have the head straight, you know, stuff like that. He knows the... I know what he wants me to do, so I try to do what I know he likes.
Yeah, he literally said that. I mean, straighten the horse out, and then I could watch you as the last horse in, you straighten his head out. It was wild to watch the two of you kind of, I know you're a distance away, you're in the gate and he's in the grandstand, but it was fascinating to watch the as he was coaching you through that. So you sense what he wants and sense what he wants.
Yeah, it's been more than 5 years and probably 1,000 or more horses that I ride for him, so... And most of the time, the same instruction, you know, just bait it in the gate, his back, the back of the door, the head straight, make sure he's going to break straight, and take it from there, play it by ear.
And do you ever think about, I mean, Charlestown, there's bigger circuits out there. Do you ever think about moving from here to a bigger circuit? Have you had opportunities like that? Have you thought about stuff like that, started about moving on?
It's always in the back of my head, because I do have a few opportunities that came my way, but I don't feel like none of them were the right one. And the business I have here is really good, too. So for me to live here, it had to be like a really big opportunity, a really nice one. Like a trainer. I prefer a trainer or agent that's really connected, that I know I'm going to go and ride for somebody. Because just to go and try, with the business I have here, it's really hard just to live and to see what happens. Somebody that I know is really well connected, a big barn or something, give me the opportunity, I would like to try somewhere else.
Yeah, it's got to be on your mind, right? I mean, you think about bigger places. I'm like back to watching the Ortiz brothers and those, you know, and John Velasquez and your mentors, those kind of guys go on to do big things. So I guess the timing is everything. If the opportunity came, you would think about going.
Yeah, if the opportunity came and it's the right one, I feel like it, I would love to try somewhere else.
What would your dad's be advice for you?
He will tell me, like, take it easy and take it slow. He actually wasn't like a big... Like, go to a bigger place. Like, where if you're doing good, you're happy, you stay there. It's more like my dream. Like, I would like to be in a place like that. But he was like, if you're happy, you're doing good, your family's fine, don't worry about it. Just be happy.
And is that how his career went? I mean, is that how he kind of, was that his career?
It was like that, but he got hurt really early in his career. So he was more, then he became a trainer and he worked throughout the whole year. But his career was only like 5-6 years because he got hurt really bad. He couldn't move his arm much. So he just became a trainer. But he like, in the racetrack, you get different opportunities. And he just stayed where he felt he was happy. So, and that's what he told me. You be where you feel like you're happy. And if you're doing, because before he passed, I was doing good by then too. So it's like, you're doing really good over there. So if you're going to leave, make sure it's the right opportunity and it's going to work out.
And what about your brother's career? What have you learned from his career?
He actually did really good too. He was parked for a while early in his career. He did really good there. Then he went to Suffolk Down. He did really good there too. He moved to Florida. But every time he moved with a trainer. So that's why I say, like, if I have the opportunity to go with somebody that's going to give me opportunity to do, because he did it, and he did really good too. But right now, that's another one, he got hurt really bad, and he's trying to come back now. But he did really good with his career, and I'm proud of him.
Yeah, and do you talk to him about advice, get advice from him? Does he watch your races? I mean, is he that kind of relationship?
Yeah, we do. Like, early in my career, he helped me a lot to the races. And these big nights like that, I always talk to him. I show him replays of the horses. We go to the races together. Like, he give me advice, like, maybe you should be doing this, maybe put in here. This whole look, like, he asked me, like, we go to the races together, and he's still giving me advice.
Yeah, that's a big help to have somebody in your corner like that all the time.
Yeah, it is.
And so with your career going forward, what would it take for you to move from Charlestown? Would it be somebody come to you, an agent or a trainer, to say, come on, well, let's try this circuit?
Yeah, something like that, but... I need to make sure that they are going to give me the opportunity. Like, let's see, an agent called me and say, hey, come to this track. I have this training. He have 20-something horses, 30 horses, and he's going to give you opportunity in a lot of them. That's good. So then I will try it. But I have people tell me before, come here, like, let's try it. I know a few people, but then I see people that work with them before. They never have luck, never successful. So it's hard to go with somebody like that. So that's why I haven't moved yet.
Yeah, it's hard to walk away from a guy like Jeff Runco. You can go win. You win 8 stakes on a day. I'm not sure that's ever been done by any jockey anywhere on any circuit. So it's hard to walk away from guys that are committed to you and getting on those kind of horses.
Yeah, and then Jeff, every year he brings good horses. Like, every year he got the best baby. So knowing that you had the best this year, and then next year we have something that might be even better, and then every year he goes and get the best baby. So it's hard to lose something like that. When you know you want to be winning all these state races, you have all these good horses over here. I have my house here, my wife, my family. So starting a new place, it had to be really like 100% sure that I'm going to be at least top 5.
That makes sense. You're a smart kid. How old are you?
I'm 34.
34? So 34, making a living at Charlestown, and yeah, if the right opportunity comes along, you'd leave, but otherwise, and I don't mean to just dwell on opportunity. You're doing great here, and you're happy here, making good money, winning 8 stakes on a night, right?
Yeah, I mean, the money's not, when you win the races I win, the money's not bad here. So I'm pleased with where I am and the money I make here. So to leave, it had to be a really good opportunity, like I say. Because I'm pretty good here, I'm happy here, so I'm not having no problem staying here.
Yeah, and I look at your success wherever you are. If you're a success, it's that's strong. That's good. Okay, for the Fanticipate question of the day, who is your biggest fan of your career over the years? Who is your fan? Who's your biggest fan?
My biggest fan, I think, it's my family, my wife, my brother, my mom. Like that night when I leave the room, I have missed call from them. A lot of messages. They were happy. My mom was actually crying because she saw everyone in Puerto Rico sharing the post about me. So I think my mom, my wife, and my whole family. And I have a son. He's in jockey school. Wow. So he's one of my biggest fans too. He's supposed to be here in 2 years. He will graduate and he become a jockey. So he's another big fan of mine.
The next Boca Chica on the line, right? What's his name?
His name is Abnel Boca Chica.
Wow. And he's in jockey school in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, right now. So he'll be ready for 2023.
2023. Look out, everybody. That's Arnaldo Boca Chica, otherwise known as Boca, leading jockey at Charlestown, winner of 8 stakes the other night, making it big at Charlestown.